Welcome to Cancrea, home of Canada's Cree Media. My name is Luke Smith.
My name is Sebastian.
And Sebastian, What would you say if I asked you about a gay woolly sweater?
Oh God. Are you talking about the sweater, the Ottawa sweater? Or are you talking about like, what are we talking about here?
So just for our audience's sake, we have been traumatized. No, that's not fair. That trauma is an actual medical condition.
We've been spooked.
We've been disturbed. Disturbed is a very accurate description here. We have been disturbed. Uh-huh. There was a charity that has since had a change of leader and branding, but there was a charity that decided to combat the use of the word "that's so gay" or by making something that is gay. Mm. So they got various gay humans to donate their hair and then created a truly hideous monstrosity of a sweater out of the gay hair. The message is good. The sweater itself is a heinous act against humanity. It is just...
Now, I don't think that's necessarily too much of a problem because there is that historical act of making a hair shirt, which is like where you wear a garment made out of the hair of your spouse, but that's like a very different thing than like a bunch of strangers and it's all mixed in. If you're talking about woolly sweaters, you know how colored shirts are basically my uniform? Like multiple people have noticed that it's exceptional for them to see me without wearing a collared shirt. Like I'm wearing a t-shirt out right now, but I'm just at home. Before that, my uniform was knitted sweaters that people just never saw me without a sweater on. So I have some woolly sweaters that weigh more than your dog. So because these are hefty sweaters.
What I'm referring to is a farm in the North Rhine-Westphalia of Germany.
Okay.
Now, the Michael Stutk and his company, the Rainbow Wool, have teamed up with one of the largest LGBT organizations in Germany.
Okay.
It's LSVD Plus. It translates to the Federation Queer Diversity. People might be familiar with the International Lesbian and Gay and Trans and Intersex Association, the ILGA.
Okay.
You might be familiar with that. Anyway, the LSVD is associated, I believe, with them. But here is how they make their gay sweaters. They take gay rams, which is male sheep.
Okay.
And then they shear them. And then they use the wool to make wool products. I don't know if they make specifically sweaters, but they make wool products. But this is the bit that I think is kind of adorable.
How do they confirm that these are gay rams?
So I'm getting to that. So there is an instance rate of about 1 in 12 sheep is gay, according to multiple studies on sheep.
Okay.
Now, if you are in the sheep agricultural business, if you have a ram... Typically, you want to put that ram with an ewe and make little baby lambs. Like, that's your goal. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens if you've got a ram that doesn't like the lady sheep, that's not performing with the lady
sheep? You send it to a gay ram sanctuary.
Well, that is that you laugh, but that's literally what they're doing. They are putting bids on gay rams that are being put up for auction to outbid the butcher shops.
Okay.
So that they could rescue these rams, take them to the Rainbow Wool Ranch to make gay clothing. Well, I just love the fact that this gay German farmer is out there rescuing gay rams from their almost certain death. Because they would just be butchered and turned into probably some nice mutton shops.
Yeah, a gay vindaloo. Yeah.
Exactly.
I wonder if I could buy the yarn, because you know I knit. I wonder if I could get that and make, like, a gay beanie or a gay scarf. I mean, all scarves are gay if you make them right.
This is true. This is true. But yes, when I ask what makes you think of a gay sweater, well, now if you're in Europe, you can get literally a sweater that has been sheared from a ostensibly a gay ram. Now, I don't know if these sheep are going to be marching in the Pride Parade in Westphalia in Germany. I don't know if
I hope they do. I hope they
honestly, they
do,
should
and major
have a
corporations
contingent.
don't.
Yes, I would
Yeah.
accept that company at the Pride
Yeah.
Parade. Just a bunch of gay sheep just haggling with like if they wore little bandanas that have been dyed into rainbow colors so that they are all like
Bandanas like how your dogs get after they go to the
yeah
groomer? Oh
exactly
my
yeah
God.
fancy groomer bandanas for the gay sheep
Or
but
if it's the time of the year where their horns in, because I don't remember if sheep shed their horns every year like a lot of ungulates do, but if they are, then you can like paint them rainbow, have like little rainbow horns. It won't hurt them. They're going to fall off in the autumn anyway.
exactly. Well, we will be looking into Michael Stuck's Rainbow Wall. This initiative, I think a portion of it also goes to supporting LGBT products with that German LGBT organization. Now, if you know of any Canadian farms that specifically go out and rescue those gay rams, let us know. We'd love to hear a Canadian angle on this story. But it never occurred to me. There's so many studies. There's even, I think there's a major CBC podcast that came out recently that looks at gay animals, or rather animals with instances of homosexuality. But of course, in the agricultural business, you want 1 and 1 equals 2, but then you want that 2 to equal 3 and 4 and 5 to, make additional income. But of course, that's not necessarily the case if your rams identify as gay, or if your lady sheep are just not in the mood for the guy that comes knocking. But there we go. That's the story to start off with. A gay swan, a sweater that I could actually get behind.
I'm looking it up.
You're looking it up, of
I
course.
found a yarn site. I think I might be able to buy
Excellent.
it. That's why I went quiet, because I was
You
Googling.
go furiously putting in an order. You're like expedited shipping. All right. Well, sticking to Europe for just a
You can
moment.
adopt them. You can adopt a ram.
Like, is the sponsor a ram? You know
Adopt a
what?
gay sheep. Oh my God.
Are you now going to have a sponsor? Everyone's Christmas present is just going to be rescued gay rams.
Oh, God. Okay, sorry, go on. Sorry, I interrupted.
The European Court of Justice has just ruled that every country needs to recognize gender identity changes that are made. Now, essentially, there was a lady who had her gender identity changed. She was Romanian, had her gender identity changed in Britain whilst Britain was still in the EU. But Romania refused to acknowledge these particular changes. Now, fundamentally, what the court is really saying here is that there is harmonized bureaucracy here. That the rights from one country are consistent from the next. You don't lose or gain rights by crossing the German-French border or the Romanian-British border. I don't think that there obviously isn't a British-Romanian border. They're not immediately adjacent. But the idea being that there is a consistency in rights across the board. So yeah, the court said that the country's refusal to accept the gender identity was contrary to the European law. And it hindered the exercise of the right of free movement and residence. So, yeah, just like a name, it is pretty fundamental. So that's the way that they landed on it. Now I can't find. Oh, there we go. I found the rainbow wall. I will definitely be perusing their collection as well. I did want to mention something that's maybe less spectacular. Folks are, of course, aware of the war in the Ukraine. And I think one of the travesties that we hear about, first of all, don't get me wrong, the sheer number of just children that have been killed in the Middle East from the rising conflict there is horrific. If you think about the number of women and men that have also been killed, it is a travesty. And I implore our elected officials to do what they can to try and bring those conflicts to a conclusion. Not that I'm expecting Doug Ford to find a solution to peace in the Middle East, but let's not exasperate it. Now, that being said, I think one of the things that is really upsetting is the human toll in the conflict in the Ukraine. The number of Russians that have been lost, the number of Ukrainians, obviously, that have been lost from the illegal invasion. It's in the thousands. Now, one of the things that's come to light, SKSOS, which is an altruist organization that works in Russia, have multiple cases. I think they've had at least 7 cases that they've been able to verify where Russian authorities have identified people who have been accused of homosexuality that have been in the prison systems. Mm-hmm. And these are just the 7 that this organization is aware of. And they've essentially been pressured or blackmailed into fighting on the front line on behalf of the Russians. Mm-hmm. The Russians are becoming cannon fodder on the front line. Like, this mm-hmm. is just shy of a death sentence for these young men. Specifically, also, it's young Chechen gay men that seem to have been pressed into this more than others. Canada, of course, has been a refuge for gay Chechens and mm-hmm. Those fleeing Russia. But yeah, this is yet another... I mean, I don't think Russia is going to be taking the moral high ground for quite a while, but this is certainly a black mark on their ledger.
Yeah.
Pressuring and blackmailing young gay folks into putting their lives on the front line in a war that they want nothing to do with.
A lot of Russians don't want anything to do with it. Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Really quite horrific. I believe the total so far... I think the Economist Institute puts the death rate around 14,000, give or take. No, maybe more. I'm looking at the annex of Crimea. No, I'm not sure exactly where the death rate is. We'll look into it during the break and find it recently, but it's a huge number. And certainly not good. Well, that being said, before we run out of time, the rest of the show, we're going to be talking about companies that are rolling back their equity, diversity, and inclusion initiatives. For example, Toyota, the car manufacturer, has decided, in the States at least, to pull back any support for Pride, no longer sponsoring or financially backing Pride organizations. Is this the right move? Is it not? We speak to the programs director, Jade Pichette. Out at Work Canada about this particular topic, and we explore the issue in more detail. And so we're very excited about that. Let me double check. I feel like it was Jade Pichette. It was Jade Pichette. I was right the whole time. There we go. All right, but first, so the first track is going to be Monster by the Croquettes. I've been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian.
Yeah.
And welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name remains Luke Smith. Sebastian is not able to join me right now, but earlier in the show, we were talking about potentially the shifting tides in acceptance, in promotion and advocacy for LGBT employees and engagement by companies with the LGBT community. I'm not going to just be talking to myself, however. I am very excited to have a friend of the show. We've had the pleasure of interviewing Jade Pichette, the Director of Programs at Pride at Work Canada, in the past, and I think also in previous employment as well. It's always a pleasure to have a conversation with you and to share your knowledge with our audience.
It is a wonderful pleasure to be back, Luke, and happy to be discussing what is a challenging issue, but is a reality for those of us working in DEI and for queer and trans employees.
So earlier in the show, we talked about how there has been a sort of a pushback originating in the right, in sort of radical conservative elements of the Republican Party, in particular, where if they see a company is, the most obvious option is supporting Pride or being vocal and supportive. Think about the backlash to Target, for example, in their Pride collections. I think we started to see mm-hmm. that, followed by Hershey's and then the Bud Light fiasco that happened last year as well. But what's really sinister, and which is why I wanted to talk to you about this, is that we're starting to see companies being targeted for having equitable programming in terms of their hiring and their support. Some of them have said, look, you know, we have employee resource groups. I'm sure anyone listening that works with a large employer might be familiar with employee resource groups. And some have said, look, it's not us, it's these groups, they're doing things, you know, we support them. Does that worry you that some of these big companies in the States are responding to this pressure and potentially rolling back their support for the community?
It really does concern me. So, you know, during the COVID-19 pandemic and in the wake of George Floyd, there was an increased focus on DEI, and companies from left and right were promising these big chunks of cash to DEI initiatives, many of which some of the evidence shows didn't transpire of what was promised to what happened in reality. But we were in such a place where DEI was being considered something that was good and was being understood as a societal good, but also a company good. It was good for companies' bottom lines. And so now we're seeing this rise, as you were mentioning, of the far right. And that's not just happening in the US, that is happening globally. However, it definitely is being produced and exported from the US in very intentional ways through institutes in the States. And it really does create some concern around DEI and DEI initiatives, where there becomes a backlash against them from outside the company and sometimes from within the company as well. And so we are seeing a slide back where companies that previously valued DEI, some of which are exclusively saying, we're going in a different direction, we're doing something different than that for our employees, and that DEI is not going to be helpful, which I think is the wrong course of action, in my opinion, but is of serious concern.
Now, for our listening audience, we've mentioned, obviously, DEI a few times as diversity, equity, and inclusion. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, and I don't believe I am, but I'm open to be corrected. My understanding was if a company only hires a white guy called Joe Schmo and it has 15 white guys called Joe Schmo, it creates a groupthink. It creates a
It
lack of
does.
innovation because they all have very similar ideas. And therefore, the idea of this diversity and having a more equitable hiring and including more people brings companies different ideas, different perspectives, some innovation that otherwise won't be there. Is this codswallop? Is there evidence to support that? Like, is DEI effective?
So I think there it is both to be said. So there is the parts that are effective, and that I think there are the parts that we can challenge a little bit. So I think as a whole, DEI efforts and having diversity of thought is really what employers need to be able to address the challenges of the day, to be innovative, to be competitive in the marketplace. And there was a study by, I believe it was Outworld, that showcased that companies that had 2S LGBTQI plus inclusion efforts on a global scale did 22% better in the marketplace than their competitors. So there is plenty of evidence in regards to the business case for DEI initiatives. What there is, I think, where there can be some critique is I think DEI initiatives have been it's not a clear profession, right? Like there isn't a explicit, this is the degree that you're going to do, this is the way that you're going to be trained to do DEI. And so I think DEI efforts have been a bit scattershot in how they have been approached. And I think that leads to negative repercussions on the DEI efforts that are needed and do have a positive impact. So I think of, for instance, training as one of these examples where a lot of training is done with a lot of good intention, but may have not the right implications because it isn't being framed in the right way, it isn't being done in the right way. And I think things like that have undermined our case a little bit. And there's a really great author out of the States, Lily Zhang, or Zhang, sorry, who writes a couple books about DEI, DEI deconstructed and DEI reconstructed, where she actually goes into the explicit research of what of DEI efforts have been effective, what haven't been. The main thing is that as a whole, it's important for us to be doing these things, but how are we doing them, and are we doing them in a good way? And so I think the DEI, I don't want to call it a movement, but the DEI movement per se, has sometimes undermined itself. And I think the right wing has been able to glom onto that and use that against us in some ways, that we really need to be a bit more careful about.
A part of me is wondering, how much should we really worry about, as queer folks or as women, as people of, I'm not a person of color or woman, but for queer folks or women or people of color, those who would maybe be most engaged by the diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. How concerned should we be about what's happening in the States? Canada has truly robust case law and provincial human rights legislation. We have the Canada Labour Code is quite explicit. There's this idea that Canada is a bastion and doing oh so well. Is it going to touch us? Are we worried here north of the border?
So I would argue that it's already touching us. So the first step is American-based companies who have operations in Canada. And we've already seen the rollback of DEI efforts and budgets in particular across the sector in Canada. It's something that I talk to many different employers about. It's something that I talk to other nonprofits that are similar to us in this space, just focused on different equity deserving groups. So great organizations like Black Talent Initiative, Indigenous Works, and others. We're all seeing these impacts on DEI overall. And so although we don't have the same context as the US, in some ways, like we don't have a provincial premier trying to outlaw all DEI like we have in the States with the governor in Florida. But we do see that this is hitting companies' bottom lines, and the amount that they are actually giving for DEI efforts is shrinking, despite the fact that inflation is going up. And so DEI efforts in themselves are actually getting more expensive while the budgets are shrinking. And so this is causing I would argue, it's going to become a crisis at a certain point if the trend doesn't shift. And you know, I'm very concerned that as things continue to radicalize in the U.S., that will spill up north of the border. And certainly the fact that we've seen three provinces now either introduce or in Alberta's case, very soon introducing, or maybe have introduced, depending on when this airs, anti-trans legislation. I think we are explicitly seeing that rollback of to LGBTQ rights. In Canada, we've also seen this with the bans on pride flags in a number of municipalities across the country, from Woodstock, New Brunswick, to others. And so I think, you know, that cultural shift against DEI is something that's happening both within employers and within the broader culture as a whole. And that is something that we have to be very, very aware of and very concerned about, and something that we need to prioritize if we're going to make continued progress.
You know, we've seen a lot of data. I mean, this is certainly something that is concerning folks. The Human Rights Commission, HRC, I think it's commission. They did their 2024 LGBTQ climate survey, looking at the data specifically around this, looking at, you know, would people boycott companies that rolled these initiatives back? But I mean, it's frankly, it's hard to keep track. It reminds me of a lady in Britain who was boycotting a Marks and Spencer's for having an EDI initiative. So she went to Costa Coffee, which she had forgotten she was also boycotting a month earlier for the same reason. Like she couldn't keep track of which boycott is which, and then eventually just runs out of coffee joints. You know, and that's what, you know, as in trying to be an informed, you know.